I am Planta on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Rob Stewart joins me now. The Toronto-born and based filmmaker has a new book out. Save the Humans is his passionate book detailing his life's work of activism and his advocacy for a sustainable future. In 2007, he released the documentary Sharkwater to great acclaim. He emerged as a leader in the environmental movement, doing so at a young age. He was barely 30. We learn in this book about Mr. Stewart's love of animals, especially those under the ocean's surface, namely sharks. It's this appreciation of the shark that has led to greater awareness of the shark fin industry around the world, where the fins of the shark are cut off, and then the sharks are put back into the sea to bleed to death. There's been a movement in this city, for one, as well as other cities around the country and the world, to ban the sale of sharks' fins. The book also takes the reader to all the places Rob Stewart traveled to in the course of making his films, including his latest, Revolution. It plays at the Vancouver International Film Festival. Check out their website at viff.org for information and times. Revolution opens wide throughout the country next spring. Visit therevolutionmovie.com for information on the film and book. The book is published by Random House. Please welcome to the Plaza Land program, Rob Stewart. Mr. Stewart, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So after looking at sharks, looking at animals in your previous work, it really boils down to this new book, Save the Humans. We need saving, don't we?
We do, yeah. By the time we were done releasing Sharkwater, we'd met some of the world's top scientists and been to the biggest environmental conferences, and it became glaringly evident that we're fighting not just for sharks, but for the ecosystems we depend on for survival. And if you look at some of the numbers that the scientific community's come out with recently, by the middle of this century, we could be facing a world with no fish, no reefs, no rainforest, and 9 billion people on a planet that's struggling to sustain the 7 billion that are here.
So what does that mean by 2050, if there's no ocean life left? Does that automatically mean that we'll die?
No, it doesn't automatically mean that. Well, the reason why we can survive on this planet is because of life. It's, phytoplankton in the oceans and trees on land that give us the oxygen in the air that we breathe. It's, life that gives us our food, our water, and our air. And so what we've been doing for the last, few hundred years is systematically dismantling that life. And, we're running up against pretty significant barriers. And if we do lose, if we do lose all life in the oceans, then yeah, for sure, humanity and many other ecosystems are going to go down with it. But it's not going to happen quite like that. The biggest thing facing the oceans right now is ocean acidification, where most of the carbon dioxide we put into the atmosphere gets absorbed by the oceans, making them 30% more acidic than it was 100 years ago. And because of that, the animals that form skeletons in the oceans aren't going to be able to form, and that includes the phytoplankton that gives us our oxygen. So, what happens first, we're not really sure, but, facing a world without fisheries, that's the main protein source for, somewhere between a quarter and a third of us humans.
Yeah. So carbon and our usage of that, I mean, that really does, that connects to everything, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Carbon is one of the symptoms of the problem. I mean, the main problem is there's too many people on this planet consuming too much, and our effluent and our waste is destroying this planet, and that includes carbon. And that carbon is causing the climate to change and causing the oceans to become more acidic.
What's something that you've learned from being up close to animals, say, that you didn't know about humans heretofore?
Well, one of the things I learned during the making of this movie was that when ecosystems change and when environmental calamities happen, for example, so in the last 500 million years, there have been 5 major extinctions that have wiped most life off this planet. At least 4 out of 5 of those extinctions have been caused by ocean acidification. And when the oceans go acidic, it is a good thing for some species and a bad thing for others. And it's a good thing for things like jellyfish, for example. And it could be a good thing for things like octopus and squid and cuttlefish, but a bad thing for the ecosystems that we depend on. So there's always some winners and there's always some losers, except unfortunately the losers in this scenario are the ones that we depend on.
I'm assuming that you don't eat seafood, right?
No, I don't eat seafood.
No. When was it for you that you developed this affinity for animals, for fish in the sea and the sort, sharks even? Was that at an early age?
Yeah, as early as I can remember. I had a goldfish bowl from the time I was about 0. and have loved animals ever since I was a kid. So the affinity sort of runs pretty deep.
Yeah, and so did you know that growing up that this was the kind of work that you wanted to go into?
No, no, not at all. I thought I'd end up, you know, working at a zoo or owning a zoo or, you know, being a wildlife photographer. What I did before Sharkwater was my favorite job in the world. You know, I got to travel 8 months of the year and spend time underwater taking pictures of animals and spend time in jungles and in the remote, you know, regions of the third world. It wasn't until I was made aware of these bigger environmental issues that I sort of realized I had to, you know, take up a different profession, and I had to make, you know, my mission on this planet to educate everybody about these issues so that we can do something about it.
Now, there are some of us who didn't see Sharkwater, but I remember reading about it at the time. I mean, it was a huge hit. It was a critically acclaimed film. Did the attention that the movie got, did that surprise you?
It didn't really surprise me that much. I was hoping that was going to be the result. You know, we made the movie trying to educate the public, hoping that if people just knew that, you know, their consumption of this dish was causing the demise of one of the oldest, longest-lasting, most important predators the planet has, that they would do something to fight for sharks. And what surprised me the most was that it was young people, particularly, you know, kids around the world that have been leading this, you know, shark fin free movement to try to get shark fin bans all over the world. And when Sharkwater came out, there were 16 countries that have banned shark finning, and that was more than 100, including at least 25 territories that have banned shark fin, where you can't own it, sell it, possess it, trade it in any way. And that's been a pretty heartwarming thing to see.
Yeah, we've banned it here in Vancouver, haven't we?
It's banned in places like Burnaby, and they're pushing for a ban on shark fins in Vancouver, and they're also trying to push for a ban on the importation of sharks into Canada, and you can find more information on that about fin-free.com.
Fin-free.com. You've had, obviously, the chance to swim amongst sharks. Are you afraid of them still?
No, I haven't been afraid of sharks since I was 9.
Really?
I met my first shark when I was 9, and it was afraid of a 9-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Changed everything for me. You know, if sharks are afraid of a little boy, then, you know, maybe the media is wrong. And the only people that are really afraid of sharks are people that have never met one underwater. And, you know, as you dive with sharks and as you spend time with them, you realize, you know, they're incredibly sophisticated animals that are phenomenally important on this planet. And they're not mindless killers. They're not what was portrayed in Jaws. It's just, you know, it sells headlines a lot more. And it's, you know, it's a bit more enticing if you talk about these man-eaters out there in the ocean rather than, you know, this sophisticated, important animal made a mistake.
Yeah, we've seen that in this past summer, I guess, off the east coast of the United States. I mean, it was in the news a lot, sharks attacking. I mean, I guess that's just hype, right?
The impression is that when a shark does bite somebody, it gets reported on a lot more than once. So the impression is that it happens a lot more than it does. Every year, people swim in the oceans about 7 billion times, and each year there's about 60 to 90 people bitten by sharks, with an average of about 5 fatalities. And you couldn't interact with, you know, any animal 7 billion times and expect to only get messed up 60 or 90 times.
Yeah.
So it sort of proves that sharks are, you know, pretty sophisticated, and they know what they're doing, and they're aware, and, you know, makes them some of the least harmful large predators on the planet.
So this movie, Revolution, which plays here at the Film Festival here in Vancouver, you want us to see that movie, right?
Yes, I want everyone to see Revolution. I think, you know, every revolution we've had in the past, be it, you know, the end of slavery or cultural, racial, gender equality, everybody knew the kind of change we need to bring into the world. Everybody knew we needed equality. And right now, not enough people know what's going on with our life support system, with our individual actions, governments and corporations. And until they do, we're not going to be able to bring in the kind of change that's necessary, because it's a lot bigger than changing light bulbs and changing the kind of car you drive. So it's awareness, I think, which is most key in this revolution.
I guess what we're looking for when we're trying to make change in our lives, I mean, I think that why we're reticent to do that is because it'll take a lot of work, that it'll cost us some money, say, if we have to change, you know, get different light bulbs, as you say. But in your experience, it's not that difficult to make change, right?
It's not that difficult, no. You know, we released Sharkwater and educated some people about the issue, and then all of a sudden these kids, you know, who knew nothing about government policy, started trying to change the world to get shark fin banned, and shark fin bans started popping up all over the world. I think the world is generally easy to change. We just haven't tried that much. And the potential power of 7 billion people, you know, just shifting their actions slightly so that they're protecting the planet instead of destroying it, could have a massive impact. And I think once the public is made aware, their emotions are going to guide them to, you know, to actions, governments, and corporations that are sustainable and good for the planet instead of ones that are bad. And if we, you know, simply just had the rules of the road right within governments, so instead of, you know, spending a lot of money and trying to change your light bulbs and change your cars and stuff, put some effort into changing your governments and the government rules so that we're subsidizing the industries that are good for the planet and, you know, taxing the industries that are bad for the planet.
And do you find, I mean, people our age, I mean, we're roughly the same age, you and I, Rob, do you find the people younger that they're getting the message, say?
Yeah, the younger people get the message right away. You know, people that are older, particularly, you know, it's like the older you get, the less you get it, and
right.
the more pessimistic you are, because you can be pessimistic, but it's too late to be pessimistic at this point. And the young people particularly, you know, they look at the problem and they don't try to rationalize their way out of it. They don't try to say, you know, how do we fix the environment and retain economic growth? They know the most important thing is the environment, is our life support system and other life on this planet, and we've got to protect it. So whatever we need to do that, let's do it.
The book does a great job in sounding the alarm to the crises that we face as humanity. In your travels and in your experience, you do find a lot of good, that there is hope, right?
Yeah, there's a great deal of hope, and I think we will turn this around. And if you talk to young people particularly, they know we're going to turn this around because our future depends on it. And, you know, we're capable of massive change, and we're capable of coming together. When, you know, Martin Luther King took to Washington, D.C., there were 1 million people on the National Monument. And some of the biggest environmental rallies we've had so far have had, you know, 5 or 10,000 people. So we've got a long way to go, but I think we will get there. You know, there's 1 billion people connected on Facebook. There's billions more connected on the Internet. There's more than 1 million non-governmental organizations around the world that are all out there working for good and for the betterment of humanity and the planet. And that's a force that's stronger than any government or any corporation. So I really do think we will do this. And we just need to take the power back and realize that, you know, our governments should not be our rulers. Our governments are our employees. And when treated as such and when we wield our power, we can turn this around.
I asked you earlier if you ate seafood, and I guess the question that I still have is, do you go around saying that people that eat meat, say, or that eat seafood, that they're bad people?
No, of course not. There's no real bad. I think there's just ignorance, and it's a moral issue, really. You can't really define a hard line and say people shouldn't be eating meat and people shouldn't be eating seafood. You know, people could eat all the meat and all the seafood if they want, if there were, you know, a couple billion people on this planet. The problem is there's so many people on this planet right now, and our consumption is, you know, basically gobbling up the world we depend on, and eating meat and eating seafood is more resource-intensive than eating plants. But you can't really say that you can't do that. It's sort of a moral decision that we as a species are going to have to take. Are there too many of us on this planet, or are we consuming too much, or both? And where in that line do we want to fall? Do we want, you know, 2 billion people on this planet eating meat and eating seafood, or do we want, you know, 10 billion people on this planet eating strictly vegetables?
In your travels across the country to promote this book, to promote this movie, people are they're generally quite positive about the message, right?
Yeah, everybody's really positive about the message. And I think, you know, I think we're tapping into something, because I think people really do care. You know, there's 7 billion people on this planet that do care about the future, that do care about their genes, that do care about other species. And we have our emotions to guide us. Like, we do love these animals and these ecosystems for a reason. And I think, you know, it's the message I'm trying to bring to everybody is that, you know, we really can turn this around. We will turn this around. And we just have this small task of educating everybody to get us there. Because, you know, we're not going to buy ourselves out of this mess by, you know, going out and buying and consuming the latest green thing. But we can get out of this mess if we, you know, engage with our governments and change our systems of government and change our systems of manufacturing. And, you know, just some subtle, simple shifts will change the world in a pretty profound way. But, you know, it's tough to get those shifts right now because the governments and the corporations are making money off the way things are going.
And do you find that, I mean, there is generally an apathy amongst young people in terms of voting, participating in the political process? I mean, that's important too, right?
That's absolutely important, yeah. You've got to get involved politically. You've got to get involved in every way you can. And, you know, growing up, I wasn't political at all and had, you know, no real desire to be political, no real desire to vote. it wasn't until I, became aware of these issues and became aware of the government's role in this and the fact that governments and corporations have become a little too tightly intertwined at the moment, did I realize, okay, this is why I have to get political. It's not because of, how much taxes I want to pay. It's not because of, paving over the streets or fire hydrants. It's because, our life depends on it. And I think once we get our education system right, at day one of school, if you sat all the kids down and said, all right, kids, pay attention, the adults of this world have consumed and destroyed most of everything, and the world's going to be pretty grim for you guys unless you guys pay attention, learn everything we're going to tell you, and get out of this and start making change in the world and getting political. I think all the kids would be there bright-eyed and bushy-tailed every day in the morning trying to get the best marks they could because their future depended on it.
The perception in around the world is that we're pretty green in Canada, but you like to point out that our record isn't that great.
No, our record's atrocious, actually. On a global scale, at these worldwide and UN environmental conferences, Canada is viewed as the worst country environmentally. Now, our impression here, because we've birthed Greenpeace, we've got these wild spaces, and the citizens of this country all, I think, most of them, for a general part, are very environmental and want to protect these ecosystems and species. But while the entire world is making progress and trying to reduce their emissions, Canada's emissions are skyrocketing. And they're skyrocketing because we have the tar sands in Alberta, which is the biggest emitter of carbon dioxide on the planet and the biggest resource of oil on the planet. And so, it makes me a little bit ashamed to be Canadian knowing that our governments and corporations are sort of running around doing this and destroying, destroying species and destroying countries and future generations of humans.
Have you read some of the reviews of this book?
Nope.
There's one negative review from the Winnipeg Free Press. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who reviewed the book, he also watched the film, called you spoiled, egocentric, and a kid who hasn't completely grown up. What's your reaction to that?
I must have struck a chord with him somehow. Yeah, I mean, you can't please everybody. I mean, maybe you invest in the tar sands.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Toronto, that's home for you, right?
Toronto, Toronto's home.
How often do you spend there? Because I'm assuming you're traveling a lot, right?
I do travel a lot. Yeah, not that often.
Yeah.
Probably a quarter of the year.
Yeah. And is there a place in the world that you haven't been to that you'd like to go to?
Tons, yeah.
Yeah.
There's lots of places in the world. I've never been to Antarctica.
Really, yeah. Because you just seem like a guy who's been everywhere.
And I have been to quite a few places, yeah. I've been very fortunate, absolutely.
Yeah. Other than flogging this book and the movie, I guess that comes out Earth Day next year, right?
Yeah, the movie comes out Earth Day 2013.
Yeah. Other than promoting the book, what's next for you?
We are building mobile applications, study guides, and websites to accompany the movie to show people how to change the world and how to get involved and connect them with other people that are interested in doing the same.
And is there a website now? I guess therevolutionmovie.com. I guess people can go there and see info on the film.
Yeah, and unitedconservationist.org for the charity we started.
Yeah. It's been a real pleasure talking to you today. I've been a great admirer of your work, and I've enjoyed this book.
Awesome. Well, thank you for chatting with me today.
Yeah, good luck with the movie and good luck with the book. The movie opens Earth Day 2013. The book is called Save the Humans. It's published by Random House. Its author, Rob Stewart, on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.